Father, we just thank you that you're an awesome God, that you are for us and not against us, mm-hmm. and you are on the move, Lord. And wow. even though we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg, mm-hmm. you are moving incredibly in our community.
Yes.
And Lord, we just want to thank you. It says to enter into your gates with thanksgiving, to your courts with praise. And we just say, yes, Lord. Thank you for answering our prayers. Thank you for going before us. Thank you, Lord, for putting us here for such a time as this. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. And Lord, we just praise you and lift you up. You are the Lord of the harvest. And Lord, we call upon you now to send forth laborers into the neighborhoods, into schools, into workplace areas. Lord, wherever people are that are hungry, raise up laborers to bring forth your harvest. So Father, we just give you glory, we give you honor, we thank you for this home, we thank you for this time together, we thank you for what you're about to do, and so we just give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I was reading today Psalm 72, and it says, give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people, and he shall save the children of the needy. He shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. And verse 6, he shall come down like the rain upon the mown grass, and showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace as long as the moon endures. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents, and the kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer other gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him, and all nations shall serve him. And he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, and the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and the needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. And he shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. Then shall a handful of corn in the earth upon the tops of the mountains, and the fruit thereof shall shake in Lebanon. And they of this city shall flourish like the grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him, and all nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. And I was just reading that this morning, and two passages that really highlighted that was, let the whole earth be filled with his glory, and then we know that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord was going to cover the earth as the water covers the sea. And then in verse 6, he shall come down like the rain upon the mown grass. And then I was also reminded of Hosea chapter 6. Hosea 1, 2, and 3. Come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. And in the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then we shall know, if we follow on to know the Lord, and his going forth is prepared as the morning. And again, he shall come to us as the rain, the latter and the former rains on the earth. And the Lord's been really dealing and really revealing to me that I've been focusing in on the funds for serving our neighbors and for survival. And I've been going through a major pruning process and job change and starting my own business and all this kind of stuff. And the Lord says, stop focusing in on funds and what you need to get the harvest done, to bring forth the calling that I've put upon your life. Get your focus off of that. And as I was listening to Katie Souza's CDs recently, and she was talking, and the scripture says that he shall supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. It doesn't say he shall supply all of our needs according to his riches up in heaven. It says he shall supply all of our niches, riches and all of our needs according to his riches in glory. Good. And it says the glory of the Lord's going to cover on the earth. And so the Lord says, stop shifting your focus to what you need to get the harvest in. Shift your focus to my glory. Because my glory is coming here. And all that you need is in my presence. The glory is the word havad, which is the Hebrew word for the weight of his presence. When he comes in, you can feel his presence come. And he brings fullness. He brings everything you need. All that you need. The laborers are there. The angels come forth and bring gifts when the king comes in the room. You know, it's just, that's the whole shift. It says shift everything away from what you need to who I am. To who I am and the weight of who I am. And it says he will come as the rain. So last year my mom and dad were visiting from Georgia, and Doug and Michelle had a prayer ministry up in Vancouver praying for business people. And again, they're going through some major pruning as well, for expecting a major harvest, because whenever God prunes, he always brings forth a great harvest. And so as they're being prayed for, I see the in my mind's eye, I can see the planet, and it's just encased in this black shell. And all of a sudden, it cracks. And it starts cracking and cracking and cracking and cracking and cracking. Like, whoa, 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 you know. And this light starts beaming off the planet. And it's like, whoa, what is that? And he said, that's my kingdom. It's being born. It's manifesting now. And immediately I'm taken back to my son, who, my little station wagon out here, my third son was born in the car going to the hospital, you know. We were in Southeast Portland trying to get to St. Vincent, and my wife's in labor as we're going over the Ross Island Bridge, and this intense, and I'm counting with her, I'm pushing, and you know, she's pushing, and she's in the passenger seat, I'm driving, weaving through more rush hour morning traffic on December the 2nd. And we get through the tunnels and on the other side, and we're on 26, and all of a sudden he's here. And I'm still going 60 miles an hour. I'm still driving. My wife has just delivered. I pull the blanket out of the back and I pat it, you know, pat him, and he starts squeaking. We call him Squeaker because he was, you know, 2-3 weeks early. It was like, whoa. You know, it was like, but there was incredible peace in that car. I knew what I had to do. Susan was saying, call 911. She was saying, call it, pull off the side of the road. I said, no, we've got to get to the hospital. The Lord says, go to the hospital. And she knew what she had to do, because she wanted to have a water birth at home anyways. But there was incredible peace there, and it was really prophetic. And the Lord was saying to me, get ready, because I'm going to be birthing my kingdom, and it's coming fast. And it's going to be in the midst of everything that you're doing in life right now. And there's, and it's in my presence, you will know what to do to get the job done. And so, as my mom and dad are being prayed for, and I'm seeing this manifestation of the kingdom coming upon the earth, the Lord was saying, you can choose to focus on all the bad stuff that's talked about in the book of Revelations and all the prophets. You can choose to focus on what the enemy's doing, or you can choose to focus on what I'm doing. On the fact that my kingdom's being born on this planet. It's manifesting on this planet. That's right. It's been in the womb for 2,000 years. It's been in the heart of God for 6,000 years. And it says on the third day, I'm going to raise you up. I mean, he will come as the rain. So before Jesus manifests his kingdom physically, he's going to come in fullness as the rain. Now, rain in God's economy is the wealth of heaven. Literally. When it rained, it was gold was falling down from the sky. Because water was more precious than gold. And it creates the harvest. It creates the crops. Everything comes. And the Lord is saying, seek my presence. And he says, he's going to come as the rain. And so, how is that going to happen? As we come into his presence with worship. As we come into his presence with prayer. As we release him to say, Lord, you're welcome here. You know, Lord, come into my neighborhood. And Jim was telling me about how they moved here 15 years ago, and they walk around and prayer walk and talk to neighbors, and they're out, you know, reaching out to those wherever they are. And that's what I'm hearing today. That's what I'm saying. Lord is saying, get ready. get ready for it. And then in Acts chapter 11. It says in Acts chapter 11, verse 27, "And in these days the prophets from Jerusalem came into Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there would be a great famine throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. And then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren, which are in Judea, which are also they did. And they sent it by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." So here you have the Lord saying, I don't do anything unless I reveal it to my prophets. And there's going to be a great famine coming to the whole world. And they responded to that. They just didn't say, okay, that's just the prophets talking. They responded to that. And we're hearing prophets say, there's a great shaking coming. Whether that's earthquake, whether that's economic, whether it's, whatever. There's a great shaking coming. Get ready. And so that's when our passion, that's what's driving us, is to continue to say, get ready for the harvest. Not only with the shaking, but also now. Also, get prepared. And so I asked Joel to come and share about what's happening. We've been talking about it the last couple times that we met, about people getting saved in Happy Valley and through Destiny. So I want him to just to take a few moments to share whatever's on your heart. And one of the things that he said when he came in a moment ago was, I didn't know how unprepared we were to handle 1,400 people getting saved in the last 15 weeks, And so I just want to thank you and honor you and appreciate you coming. And you're on the forefront and just the tip of the iceberg about what the Lord's doing. So what's happening, man? Tell us.
James is always a heart after all. So appreciate his heart, passion for what God's wanting to do in this city. And God's using him in such an amazing way. And I just feel very honored and blessed to be here with you today. And we're very humbled with what we see, God. At Destiny, but it's not just at Destiny. It actually is. The story is this in a nutshell, which let me just read this first. The scripture just came to me. Mm-hmm. He's so familiar with Ecclesiastics, but to everything there is a season. To everything there is a season. A time for every purpose. Every purpose of God that he's doing throughout the earth. There's a season, there's a time, and a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, time to die, but there's a time to plant, but there's a time to reap. And I so believe that we are moving quicker into that time than what we ever anticipated.
That's right. Yeah.
I think the enemy is so subtle to get the church around the earth to get derailed from his true purposes of what he's doing. We get focused on, they sound like good things, but it's like it takes us really away and aside from the actual heart of God and what he's about to do. And I think we have to be so careful and what we focus on. We can focus, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I don't think we should be ignorant of I've been involved with James actually years ago, the Y2K thing, mm-hmm.
Yes.
When I was on staff at City Bible. There's wisdom in being prepared for,
yes,
natural disasters. And the church has been almost too far the other way of not caring. And, just to move our own people, just a few weeks ago, we had a seminar on disaster preparedness and what would happen if there's an earthquake and how to have water and food and all these basics, set aside.
Excellent.
So, because I don't want to be ignorant,
yes,
and I want our people on top of that. But at the same time, and not that, mm-hmm, that's all you focus on. It's obvious you don't. But there's people that do. I mean, they get, their whole life becomes wrapped up in a doctrine or an emphasis,
yes,
that is so off of what God's really wanting to do. And we've been guilty of that.
Yes.
I don't know anybody exempt, really. We all can fall into that trap so easily. But if there was ever a time to be so clued in to what God is saying and doing and spending time just soaking in the presence of God, and I don't know any other way to do it.
Exactly.
I really don't. I other than just taking the time, clearing your schedules, and just setting that time aside with Him.
Yes.
And spending it in communion with Him, and we are just speaking that to our people all the time, and trying to model that as leaders. And so, having said that, a few months ago, Denny Klein, I mean, you all know Denny in Albany, called Rodney Howard Brown in Tampa, and asked Rodney to come out and speak at his church. As he brings in a lot of, you know, great people from across the country, and you know, Denny isn't thinking anything else but that. Another speaker to bring in, great guy. He helped us launch back 12, 14 years ago, you know, when he launched his church there in Albany. And so why not bring him back and just kind of fresh breath of what he's carrying, you know, and breathe that into our church. And so Rodney starts saying to Denny, do you know what's going on here in Tampa? And Denny said, I don't have a clue. And at that point in time in May, Rodney had seen around 30,000 people just there in Tampa since January come to the Lord on the streets. So Denny all of a sudden, wow, that's amazing, you know. And Rodney said, why don't you grab three or four pastors and just come down, and we'll put you up, and just I want you to see what God's doing here and witness that. Before I come out to Oregon, I'd like to seed into a few of you what's happening here, and you carry that back, and then, you know, let it begin to permeate your area and your regions. And then I'll come. And so we were there for 3-4 days, and then we stayed over the weekend to just kind of see the whole operation. And we were absolutely blown away with what we saw. He has trainings that go on every day at 1 o'clock, and people, pastors are starting to come in from all over the country, kind of like a mini Toronto almost feel, you know, of what's happening. And so we went and saw every night he does a television broadcast that goes out, and at the end of last year he got on to a lot of several low budget type cable stations that go throughout the United States, and then and several but 36 some foreign countries, and so, you know, it has really gone out. And And just watching his program on, you know, that he puts on, that he airs, there's nothing, you know, super, that you would just say, wow, what a service, you know, God was really there. I mean, he's there in a wonderful way, but it's not like, oh man, you know, this is just blowing my mind, you know. It's just a good, straight kind of service, some great worship and a great word, and then they throw out the invitation for people to get saved and to start calling. They have phone banks that people call in. And so from the time he started those stations to the time we were there in May, there was like 200 and some thousand people who had come to the Lord over the phones, as well as, you know, the 30 on the streets, one-on-one. And then the healings and the miracles were phenomenal, that of people calling in and just needing the touch in their body. And so Denny and I said, man, let's jump on the phones and witness this and experience what we're hearing them talk about, you know. And it was phenomenal. I mean, it truly was everything they said was going on. I mean, people that are calling in, just weeping, crying, wanting to give their hearts to God. You know, it's not like you have to do something to try to bring conviction in their life. I mean, they're calling, saying, what must I do to be saved, you know? I mean, it's like fruit falling off the vine, you know? And then healings and miracles. I mean, was phenomenal. My son, I took my son, and he was just blown away. He jumped on the phones, and as he was praying for people, I mean, he said this one lady, she was in excruciating pain, horrible disease of some kind in her legs, and they were swollen way up, and he just says, well, I'm going to put my hand on my legs as I pray with you, and we're just going to believe God's going to minister healing to you. And before he was done with his prayer, she was screaming on the other end of the phone, the swelling's down, the pain is gone, I can't believe this. You know, she's just going nuts, you know. Well, they just have story after story after story like that that's going on, you know. And you just say, wow, this is really amazing. God, if there's an impartation to be had, we want it. We want everything we can get, you know. And so I had about three or four of our church, my team, go down with me who have an evangelistic flair on their lives. And one of those men, his name is Vishal, he's from India. And he is a true evangelist. He's a fivefold evangelist. And yet he had kind of been through a time of discouragement, and it's like he was so ready for this. You know, I mean, and he came to this country with a burden for our nation. Yes. I mean, that's why he is here. He wants to see revival and awakening come. I mean, he's come as a missionary from India, think yes. of it, to our nation to see revival come. And God is granting the desire of his heart big time. You know, it's Vishal Bell, B-E-H-L. And so... but the story back on Rodney is really interesting. I mean, many of you know he came in the late 80s, early 90s, and God used him in a powerful way from South Africa, came with a burden for our nation. Again, same kind of thing like Vishal, who came as a missionary to us. You know, and many Christians just can't get that through their heads. Us? Come on. We don't need God. Yeah, right. No. So, anyway, he comes, and God's beginning to use him. And, of course, he has this laughing thing that, you know, he didn't ask for. It just, you know, one of those things that happens with him. And he prayed for Randy Clark. Who Randy Clark then went to Toronto, and then kaboom, everything happened. And few people know that Rodney really played a major role in that whole thing. And I know when we look at Toronto, there's the good, the bad, and the ugly. But bottom line, God really did do something amazing that affected the world out of Toronto and many other places throughout the country as it swept, you know, our nation. And so all through these years, he's traveled and of course, taken a lot of flack, a lot of criticism. Rodney has for his style, his style of ministry. He started a church there in Tampa, I think about 10 years ago, roughly, maybe longer. And God has blessed them. He's not a big mega church. He's probably about 1,200, something like that. But just a great, solid work there. And here about 3 years ago, he had an 18-year-old daughter that died in his arms. And she had contracted a disease when she was 3 years old and should have died at three. And he just contended, you know, for a miracle in her life. And they were graced with another 15 years or so of life. And yet when she died, the criticism he took immediately by pastors and people across this nation. Oh, if you were a man of faith, you know, she would have lived. And, you know, just this stupid, you know, you just want to wring the necks of these pastors. Sorry, but yeah, it ticks me off, you know, our narrow-sightedness and all this stuff.
How do you feel about that?
So he goes back to South Africa last year, and he just said, I'm done. I'm going to stay in South Africa. I'm not going back. I'm just done. I can't, you know, the criticism, the negativity against us, it's like, it's wore me out, you know. And God said, no, you're not. You're going back, and I'm going to use you to bring a great awakening to America. And so he fought through the crud, fought through the criticism, came back. And as he did, you know, towards the end of the year, the Lord directed him to do these stations. And then, you know, everything is history from then on. It's just been this snowball effect that is happening there. And it's like, first you're Jerusalem, you know, then Samaria and the other uttermost parts. And that's exactly what's happening. It just continues to crescendo and grow and expand. And so as we're there, you know, first day of training, we go into the class and he starts talking about their drill, you know, how they do this, their street witnessing. And he hands out these, what they call a gospel soul winning script. And it really looks similar to things that we've seen down through the years, mm-hmm. from a campus crusade or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, it's not just this lightning bolt of new stuff or new technology or approaches or whatever. They say, this is what we're using. This is what's working. If you're going to go out with this, this is the way you'll do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't give you an option. If you want to do it your way, go and do it and see what kind of fruit you get. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's really amazing. And you think, oh, that's a little arrogant, you know, but it's like, as I started to think, oh man, you know, this is old stuff. I mean, we've seen this.
That's old stuff.
Yeah.
That's the Bible here. That's an old book.
That's right. Oh gosh, that's funny. And you know, it's like, I'm starting to cop this attitude, you know, this typical pastor, we got it kind of thing. Yeah, we don't. We don't have nothing. We're not seeing souls saved, you know. It's like, you wonder, what do we do? What are we doing, you know? And, so, you know, just like God said, shut up, Joel. Shut up. And just watch. Look and see what I'm doing. And so, I did. I just shut up. Okay, God, forgive me. Wrong heart, wrong attitude. You know, I mean, this is, you know, I'm no one to be trying to tell somebody how to do it, you know. And so as we watched and watched, it was mind-boggling watching their teams go out, hit the streets, and just see the numbers of people that are committing their lives to Christ. It was phenomenal. And not just salvations, but healings, miracles. It's like, this is amazing, you know? And healings and miracles. And I thought, you know, no more criticism from me. You know, it's obviously, if it's not broke, don't fix it, you know? I mean, gosh, it's just working.
You mean, and you don't need Facebook and internet and email and TV and radio and all these things to do that?
It's amazing. It's so amazing. And so, you know, while we were there in these meetings in the evening, you know, there was a really special anointing. They prayed over this Oregon delegation several times, with Rodney towards the end of the week, who had been in Switzerland for the first couple of days while we were there. And then finally, when he got there, we met with him for lunch, and then he was so, he was the last thing I expected. Just, you know, because of big name and notoriety and all of that, you know, he was such a humble man, behind the scenes. I mean, what you see is what you get. He could not do enough for us. I mean, it was amazing. He really, took on the form of a servant and to us, and that is so key. That is so key right there to success. Always, always, always. And, so that was impressive. He prayed over us, of course, and we really believe we received a literal impartation from him and the other ministry there, while we were there. Vishal, big time. I mean, his tank was filled up to overflowing, you know, and you could sense that was happening in him. And so we came back, and that week was between Palm Sunday and Easter. And so as soon as we get back, in fact, as soon as we hit the plane, Vishal is just, he's going for it, you know. We're sitting down in our seats, and a lady goes to sit down next to the window on the far side, because I'm an aisle guy. And so this lady, as she's crossing in front of us to sit down, must have heard something spiritual come out of our mouths. And the first thing she says is, "Don't you shove any of that religious stuff down my throat." You know, and, whoa, where did that come from, you know? And it's like, okay, you know? And we said, we won't, you know? And of course, we're thinking we're going to share with her, but we won't
not
give
religion.
You religious stuff. Yeah,
exactly. No religion here. Just God.
Exactly. So, of course, Vishal's right next to her, and he couldn't get on her quick enough, you know? And so he started just sharing the love of Jesus and just what relationship with Jesus was all about. And then just, you know, the script that they use, the opening line, is so simple. But I mean to tell you, it is so impacting. And all it is, God, did you know, or has anybody ever told you that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life? I mean, that's the opening line. And I mean, it is amazing how people melt with that question. I mean, all of a sudden, any closed door that was there begins to open, you know, and it's just phenomenal. And so as we, you know, he began to pursue that with her, before long, she totally said the sinner's prayer, committed her life to Christ. She was raised Catholic, had bitterness in her heart to the church and all that, and that's why there was such a hardness, you know, in her heart.
Religion.
And it was just religious stuff. And so now she's just, you know, just full of Jesus, and he asked her, is there any physical problems that you have? And yeah, she had a deaf ear that was, you know, plugged up, and said, can I pray for that? Oh, yeah, she says. Oh, so he does, and that thing pops right open, and then she just starts to weep. And she cried the whole way back, 4 hours on the plane. I mean, she was so blown away with everything. I mean, just receiving Christ, the ear, you know, opens up. I mean, it just was phenomenal. That's been the pattern ever since. I mean, that week, you know, Vishal, he couldn't wait to hit the streets with a new vigor. And he's done it before. And we, for the last several years, we've done treasure hunts, that kind of thing, which the whole concept comes out of Bethel, with more of a pray for healing, miracles, to see that happen in the lives of people. And so we've, you know, and that whole concept got our people just off their rear ends, so to speak, all of us, and needed to be so, to get out on the street and do something, you know. And we saw God do amazing things. We saw healings and miracles. But I just kept saying to myself, there's something missing. This is good. This is wonderful. Nothing wrong with seeing people healed, but we're not seeing people saved, you know. And it's like, I just kept feeling we need the whole package, you know. And that's what this has done for us, you know. And so as we go out, and you know, didn't Jesus say something about that signs and wonders will follow, you know? I mean, duh, you know. It's like sometimes we're just so thick. We have been so thick, you know, on this thing. And so as we go out, you know, as we confront people with the gospel, there has come a boldness to do it like never before. Whereas we kind of, oh, we got to build relationship, we got to, you know, I mean, I've used all the excuses, all the things to kind of get around from an aggressive, you know, confrontive type gospel, because that's old school in my mind. Mm-hmm. That's old school. That didn't work, you know. So we're not going to go there. You know, we're going to do it, you know, our way, you know. And what's that got us? Not much. Not much. You know, very little. I mean, not that you don't have maybe neighbors or different ones that you are building a relationship with. And there's that side of it that is true, and it's valid, that there is the building a relationship in the workplace and maybe neighbors and all that. It's all good. There's not a right or wrong necessarily. It's just that when it came to really seeing people make that commitment, we just weren't seeing it happen. And I think it was too easy for us to sit back and, well, God will do it in His time. Mm-hmm. You know, that was our philosophy. And gosh, and as the years keep rolling by, and even getting people healed on the streets, you know, we begin to realize, gosh, you know, you can get people healed and they'll still go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That was a scary...
You can feed the poor.
Yeah.
Still go to hell.
Exactly.
You can do all kinds of service projects and they're still going to go to hell.
That's right. I mean, that was a rude awakening, you know, mm-hmm. that thought, you know. And so, but during that week, I think, I don't know, there were 70, 80, 90 that came to the Lord that first time back, you know, in Portland. And on Easter Sunday, we're sharing these testimonies. And the testimonies are just amazing. Of the encounters on the streets and what happens with these people, from drug addicts to Mormons, JWs. You gotta be kidding. They're the ones, you know, aggressively going after us, you know. And for them just to be open, you know, whether, not to put cast any doubt, but even if it didn't work, mm-hmm. even if it didn't stick with them, okay, in a general sense, it's like a wall, and it's just like it's breaking gone. Down. It's just amazing. Mm-hmm. And gang members, all races, all ages, it was amazing. So Sunday, Easter Sunday, we're sharing these testimonies of what's happening, and we just said, how many would like to just be involved? And we just kind of threw out kind of a last minute, Vishal did, if you'd like to be trained, you'd like to be involved in sharing Christ with people on the streets. 150 people came forward.
The laborers.
You got to understand, this doesn't happen. I mean, it absolutely, I melted, literally melted into the floor. To just see that kind of heart coming from people that want to be involved, and now we've trained over 100 of our own people to do this. I mean, they've actually followed through, you know. I mean, and they're doing it, and that's the amazing part. You expect an evangelist to do it,
right?
I mean, that's his calling, but to train others to see. I have a cousin that is like 19 years old, and I mean, she's phenomenal. She's knocking them dead, not naturally, but spiritually. But, just as powerful and dynamic as Vishal, getting the same kind of numbers, and many, of course, everybody that gets trained. I mean, there's an impartation definitely that keeps passing on. And so now every Saturday morning we're doing training in our offices, and pastors are bringing their teams from all over the state. The Dalles came in, and then they asked if our team could go to them. And so 2 weeks ago they went out to the Dalles and one day trained their people, and they brought 40 to the Lord in the Dalles, the little town of the Dalles. You know, with gang members who were showed up Sunday morning for church. I mean, it's just amazing. There is something that is just very sovereign about what is beginning to happen. And it's not about us. It's not about the script. But I believe there's a season that we're moving into, that it's not just for destiny, it's for everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone. And that's what's happening. Rodney is putting this out. I mean, we're not responsible for this. We didn't invent none of this. We just are recipients of the grace of God. We're at the right time, at the right place to receive down there, and just want to spread the wealth. I mean, you know, as much as we can train and share with others, so that others can, because others are doing it now. I mean, it's they come for training. Vishal takes them out one by one, and that's an important part of
mentoring.
Yeah, there's a mentoring that he does with people, and yeah, it's time consuming, but he's giving his full life to this. I mean, all day, all week long, he does nothing but this, and he takes people out on the streets, and he lets them watch him, you know, lead several to Christ. Then he releases them to do it, and then he watches them, makes a few adjustments here and there, and before long, I mean, they are just off and running and doing it, and seeing the same kind of results. I mean, it's absolutely phenomenal. I've never seen anything like it. So,
where do we sign up?
Just come on a Saturday morning, right. You know, and you awesome. Can go on. We're developing a website. Mm-hmm. It's up in the story and to where you can get training. OperationLibertyOregon.org, and you can go online and get information there. Tools and it all refers back to Rodney. You know. Mm-hmm. We've probably made on our own script a few little tiny adjustments and maybe how we have found a certain thing works a little bit better than something else, but by and large, if it was never changed or tweaked, it would be just fine. Mm-hmm. But, you know, again, you can tweak it however you want to. Just, you know, it's about what works. I mean, if it works, do it, you know. So the big question then comes follow-up.
Yes.
And so what are you doing about follow-up? As I said when I came in, we weren't ready for this. You know, 1,452 in the last 14 weeks. And so the first thing I'll start here, you're numbering. You're keeping track. You're all about numbers.
Didn't it say 3,000 in the book of Acts were saved on that day?
Yeah.
There was a point to that.
That's right. That's what I've told our people. I said, how did they know it was 3,000, you know, or 5,000 or whatever? I mean, somebody was keeping track.
Yeah,
I mean, why wasn't
Jesus
it?
Jesus fed. Yes.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, it is. And as I started to really think it through, it's like, criticize it all you want, but every number represents a soul who has made a commitment to Christ. And so then what are you doing once they make that commitment to Christ? Well, the first thing we do is we pray the sinner's prayer, pray for healing and whatever they need, a touch in their body, and we get through all of that process. Then we ask them for their name and their phone number, address, what have you. Mm-hmm. And it is absolute, I've never seen anything like this in my life, but we are well over 50% of response with people who give us. I mean, you may feel like, wow, that's only half. But if you've been involved with evangelism, you'll realize in a real hurry, that's amazing compared to what we've had in the past. I mean, ourselves. I mean, uh-huh. Never got that kind of response, which just shows me the sovereignty of what God's doing. It shows that there truly is something happening in their hearts.
And they want a hunger for community. They want to be discipled.
Right.
They want to be mentored. They want to not go back to where they were.
Absolutely.
Ron Fry brought us off to your church a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
And you were out. What was amazing was my wife received a couple of different emails and two or three phone calls from the car being turned in. And that was amazing.
The touch points.
Mm-hmm. That actually followed through on following up.
Yeah.
That was, that was a blessing just to know that there was a system in place to handle the response cards. And normally you need to drop it in there. Nothing ever happens. Yeah. I've asked my pastor to come over and visit me in my physical and going through transitions and didn't come. Mm. You know, but your team did just an awesome job.
Cool. Thank you.
Bless you and bless them. Tell them.
That's always encouraging, and I do. They, you know, we're doing the best we can. I'm sure things fall through the cracks, you know, but we're trying. We really are. And whether it's church, the growth that has, I personally believe, and this is for any pastor that has a church that gets involved with this. Anybody can be involved. Obviously, leaders from wherever you're from. Lay people, et cetera, et cetera. There's no exclusivity here at all with this. There is a real effort in trying to follow up the best we can. With those that are on the streets, we do the callbacks. When we do the callbacks, it's amazing. We're not getting wrong names. We're not getting wrong numbers. Which, if they were going to give you something, and they're not really committing their life to Christ, there's nothing happening in them. Mm-hmm. If I was them, I'd give a false number so that I'll be nice to you to your face, but it's like I don't really want you to follow up with me, you know. And we never get those ever. I mean, it's always, wow, I can't believe you called me. Mm-hmm. And just the gratefulness and the connection, you know. And so we've got, you know, new believer classes that we have at the church. We have, that's starting to happen. But, you know, people immediately when this first started, they were looking the first next Sunday, where are they? Okay, where are they? Should be here in the church, you know. They should, you know. It's like, if this is really working, where are they, you know? And I just said, you know, you got to give this time. You know, there's going to be a trickle effect, you know, as we go, but they're all not going to bombard through the doors on the first Sunday. I mean, but it's like now after 14, 15 weeks, I mean, the teams that are out on the streets are just coming to me in tears, saying, I saw the person I prayed with. I saw the person I prayed with. You know, and they're just getting in. And so, yeah, one by one, here and there, they're starting to work their way in, you know. But my prayer is that they don't all come to destiny. There's lots of great churches in the city that I believe they'll make their way to, you know. It's not all about us. And
well, there's a lot of great people in the body of Christ. Oh. Portland.
Absolutely. Yeah. Exactly. And you know, I asked my congregation, I said, okay, big question, follow up. Okay, I said, how many of you were followed up with when you received Christ with somebody? And I could not believe it. I could not believe 50% raised their hands. That means the other half had nobody. And I said, well, how did you survive? And many of them were just by themselves, you know, and God just revealed himself. Some of them were in jail cells. I mean, and God just, they cried out to God on their knees and they found God, but they didn't know what to do from there. But so I said, what did you do? Well, I knew what they did, but I wanted to hear it from them. And they just said, just like God, just the Holy Spirit just led us. We met somebody who began to add to our walk in God, and they told us about the Bible and told us about reading the Gospel of John, and then somebody else said, well, you know, I know this good church, why don't you come with me? And you know, it's like step by step, amazing. I just said, there really is a Holy Spirit. I mean,
that's what I'm go, not by you know, might, not by power.
Go figure, you know? I mean, it's just amazing. And so that has lifted this thing of our old religious ways of thinking about all this. Mm-hmm. Because I realized that follow-up element has really kept us from just going for it all the time, anywhere.
Right.
Restaurants, waitresses, whatever. Because we got to make sure, you know, you don't bear a baby and abort them on the street, you know. I mean, that's been our way of thinking. Now, there's truth to that. You do the best you can. But beyond that, God sees this individual. Come on. And is going to love them, well, yes, care for them. Yeah. And see them move forward in the Amen. Kingdom. And that's what we're seeing happening, you know.
And they usually do it by bringing somebody into that person's life.
Yes, yes.
That's what discipleship is all about.
Exactly.
Someone comes into your life, takes you in the end, and walks with
that's
you.
Right, that's right. We are in the process of putting together some real simple Bible studies on Operation Liberty Oregon, so that people that aren't into darkening the doors of a church, I'm thinking, why not, you know, use our technology. They can go online, click without even going to a church, and at least start to get some of the simple basics. You know, I feel like it's put as much tools out there that we possibly can, make it easy, share the importance of community and family, you know, church family, wherever that is for you, wherever you feel led. But, you know, and I'm thinking, gosh, if we as the body of Christ throughout a region, if we all begin to do this, and yeah, maybe they all don't hit church the next Sunday, do you not think the atmosphere over our city would begin to shift in such a major way? I mean, it's like, I just feel like, man, God, we got to get this word out. You know, and if every church has their strength. I was talking to Galen Gingrich over in McMinnville yesterday. And, you know, God has used them in such a powerful way in the Sozo ministry. And they are like mom and pop to me. I mean, we are developing our own teams, and it's all good. But, man, we look to them, you know, for input, guidance. They have trained our teams and helped us get off the ground and rolling. And, you know, I just said, Galen, God bless you. Because it's like, you know, we're talking about the evangelism thing, and he went down to Tampa, but he hasn't been able to kick it forward like it has happened with us. But then we have a fivefold, thank God, an evangelist that has helped really carry that ball for me. Because it's not my strengths, you know, and that's, to me, that is the value of the fivefold ministry. Mm-hmm. We always have needed, we need, and we always will need all five. You gotta have every single one. It's not just the apostle and the prophet. It is all five, and equally so, and always will be. And that's become my little pet peeve, but it's like, you know, I'm seeing that more than ever before. And what's happening right now? You realize it's if I kept focusing on the apostolic and felt like God's kind of done with the evangelist and the teacher and the pastor is kind of secondary back in the background, you know, it's like we'd be in a mess. We'd be in a mess. How could we handle the harvest? Like, what's wrong with our thinking?
Yeah.
I mean, we need the balance of all five functioning in the body of Christ, because every one of those plays a role. I need my teachers right now more than ever to teach the harvest as they come in. I'm raising up more and more pastors to help pastor them. I mean, you gotta have it all, you know? And every you know, I think, anyway.
Mm-hmm. A couple of years ago, I was asking the Lord, how does the body function, the body of the Lord? And I saw the apostolic role as the skeleton of the body. And the part of the skeleton that you see right now is my teeth. And that's what the apostolic does. They go in, they declare mm-hmm. the word of God, they mm-hmm. establish structure mm-hmm. and so forth. And then I saw the prophetic as the electrical system in your body, your nervous system. And it receives input from the head and transmits it to every part of your body. You know, mm-hmm. it gets the knowledge of God or mm-hmm. your brain to every cell of your body. Yeah. It's like the nervous system. That's what the prophetic does. And then I saw the pastors being the hands to mm-hmm. heal and touch. And then I saw the teachers, you know, the evangelists being the feet, obviously go take the gospel. And then the teachers are the loins, which creates the multiplication. And you multiply and you multiply and you reproduce the word in people's lives. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So my role in the city is apostolic, where I'm going through and I'm called. I love to see people come to the Lord. I love that evangelistic aspect, but I love to establish structure. But then it's just enough structure. It's not all bones. Mm-hmm. I don't want to just establish all bones. I want some flesh on there. And that's the role that I see in my capacity as an mm-hmm. apostolic role. Mm-hmm. I don't call myself an apostle, but that's my function in the body, is to go in and create structure for the prophetic to take place, as well as for the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Good. Anything else before I want to shift to Doug?
Yeah, no, last but not least is this coming weekend.
Okay. I'd
just like to mention this, if that's okay.
Please do.
Mario Murillo is coming.
Yay.
And we are so honored to have him. And one of the biggest reasons is I'm trying to be so strategic right now with who we bring in as a local church. For speakers, for me, we're in this season of harvest, and if so, then I feel like everything we do should focus that with an emphasis, you know. And again, I don't want to get weird about it or extreme and super narrow on just this either. But if it's an emphasis of the Spirit, just like there has been an emphasis on the apostolic or prophetic, maybe, but it's, so you still need all five. It's same thing with truth. As God reveals truth, you know, it's like there's an emphasis on certain areas at times and a season for it, I feel like we're in that season, and so I'm trying to bring people who carry an anointing for harvest, for evangelism. And if you know this about Mario has had a burden for Oregon for 25 years. Yeah. And he has come for a long time. And so in talking to him just on the phone about what's going on, he is so pumped. He is so excited. He says, "I feel like I'm carrying a fire to a volcano." Yeah. And he just said, "This is what we've been praying for. This is what we've been, you know." And so, and again, not that. And I need to share this. This is so important for you to realize, because to me, it's so encouraging to other pastors. And that is the three or four pastors that went to Tampa. I mean, they're all seeing major results in their respective areas, whether it's Medford, Albany, different parts of the state. I mean, they're all seeing it happen. So, you know, it works anywhere, you know, but Oregon's been a tough, as we all know. It's like plowing concrete, you know, to break through. And it's just like, wow. And
but we need the rain.
Yeah,
and on the concrete.
That's right.
We need the rain, yeah. Lord.
The hugeness of the effect that will happen when it's done.
Yes, right.
It's
that's
easier to plow when it's rain, when it's wet soil.
Well, and let me.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and first the natural, then the spiritual.
Exactly. I mean,
there's
that's
a good point.
Exactly.
And as we're seeing the rain, literally.
Yes.
I think it's very, very important that I'm encouraging my congregation to stop, to change their way of thinking to something that's coming, to something that is here.
Yes. Right.
And it changes everything in your spirit, in how you perceive, your perspective of things. That it's not just in the sweet by and by, but my gosh, we're seeing something happening now. And it is, and it's, cracking the
kingdom.
Dam, you know, and I feel like, you know, we're just kind of holding our thumb in the dike kind of thing. But man, that baby is going to blow.
Yeah.
And it's blowing. I mean, and so it's like already we need to, and I doing it myself, you know, it's like, it's not going to be. It's
here
and
now.
There's a faith declaration of declaring that it's happening now. And in the spirit, it is. It is. The rain is coming. It's been coming. It is coming. And the crack is here.
Yes.
And it's like, we just need to, as the body of Christ throughout this whole region, I mean, jump on board. Man, I tell you, I am going to order that thing. That is so powerful.
The harvest
video.
Thank
you for sharing that. It just, that was so such a blessing to see everyone coming together.
Yes.
I mean, that's the principle. That's what's so powerful, is the body of Christ doing this, pulling it off, coming together to work together. Mm. It's not about one man, one church. Forget that. It's like, it is all about everyone jumping in and saying, hey, this is it.
Hallelujah!
So Friday night, 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock on Saturday, 10 on Sunday morning, 6 o'clock Sunday night again. And we don't usually have that many meetings with someone on a weekend, but man, he's special to have. And so, man, we just invite, spread the word, you know. And we're doing a lunch with Mario, private lunch on Saturday, but open for pastors, leaders. If you want to come, call me, and we'll set you up as a guest for that lunch at the Marriott, Clackamas Marriott, 12 noon on Saturday.
Okay. Before Doug shares, and I want to honor George Ledoux and his heart for the prophetic and the pastor and business role and so forth. And you have a gentleman coming this weekend as well. And there's a Friday morning meeting.
9 to 1.
And that's with Al Houghton. Mm-hmm. And can you talk a little bit about who he is and why he's coming to Portland?
Yeah, Al is a prophetic teacher out of the Orange County area. And we've been in relationship for about 20 years, and Al has an international ministry that a real teacher, a teacher's teacher, if you will, and, but he has a real prophetic anointing on his teaching that it's he's, God is using him to call the body of Christ to come together. and to be willing to pay for the qualification for God to use you in the powerful ways that we want God to use us.
Mm-hmm.
But what's our what's the cost?
We got to prepare.
And
yeah.
And then Friday morning, 9 to 1. There's a focus. He'll be focusing on the marketplace and business people. And then Saturday from 9 to 1, it's just an open meeting.
Okay.
So
good. And that's where? At.
That's at in Tigard at Trinity Evangelical Church, 10900 Southwest 121st Avenue.
Okay. Doug, can you kind of share from your heart what God has for you right now?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, first I just want to say, Joel, praise God. I haven't known Joel all that long, about a year or so, and had the privilege of, he went to Canada with us where we met Al. Or I had known Al from 20 years ago, but he reemerged. You know, I just shout a big amen with everything Joel's saying. The need for the fullness of those fivefold gifts to emerge and become one government is essential to taking care of the harvest. You know, my heart and many of our hearts as pastors, and I've been in this Portland area for 35 years, and I've had all night prayer meetings. We have prayed for revival. Mm-hmm. We have been, I've been on the streets passing out tracts, knocking on doors, doing everything we could imagine, along with so many others that have labored in this area for so long. And I was talking to Charlie Gessler yesterday, and he was talking about follow-up, and what is formulating in my spirit is so big, I can't wrap around it with the concept of follow-up the way we used to try to do it.
Right.
It's just too big.
That's right.
It's too much.
Happen this way,
yeah.
They have a complicated follow-up system.
No, that's right.
So somehow the presence of God, and I just want to
yes,
really
the
shout
glory.
Amen to that.
Yes.
In the shower today, the Lord said to me in my spirit, He said, yes. The power is not in the program, the power is in the presence.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
That's yes. good.
The power is not in the strategy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The power is in the presence.
That's right.
And I listened to Vishal and keyed in on a few things that he said. And he said, before we go out, we spend 2 or 3 hours in His presence.
Right.
And when you're practicing
just
His presence,
yeah.
we've done, I mean, for 35 years, man, and we've done the programs.
Yeah.
We've got the people yeah. together. We've yeah. gone out. We've strategized. We've done all these things. Mm-hmm. But we just haven't got those results. I think a big key to that is we haven't been carriers of His presence.
Right.
And that is so huge. And I just mm-hmm. I'm so excited about that. And like he's saying, the Lord has been telling us, I left Charlie and I'm thinking, gosh, I hope I am not on a bubble. You know? I mean, you get stuff in the spirit and it seems so real, and then you look around and you just see something totally different, and you feel like, is this just preach talk? Is this just like, you know, some reality? But it was so encouraging to hear you talk, because it's not a bubble, it's real.
That's right.
It's what God is bringing.
Yeah. Amen.
And part of the dimension of the apostolic, which is so essential to where we are right now, is what happened on the day of Pentecost. The apostle Peter reached up into the prophetic airways and he grabbed Joel 2 and 25. And he pulled it into a current reality. He said, now this is that which was spoken on the day of Pentecost. And one dimension that's been missing but is coming into the church right now is that dimension of the apostolic. The prophetic's been declaring, 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 declaring. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And now it's time for the apostolic to reach up into those dimensions and pull them into current realities and say, okay, they're here now. We're in the middle of it now. These revelations, these dynamics are for us to grab a hold of and begin to declare them as current realities and live in them.
Amen.
Not just preach. You know, I have this phrase, this isn't just preach talk. Because, I mean, you know, you hear this stuff for 25 years, you're thinking, yeah, 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 yeah. So most of you have heard what I have to share, but I'll encapsulate that really quick for a few that haven't. My wife and I have kind of been opposites attract. So if any of you are like that, you know it's tough to get on the same page at times. So in 2000, I have a visitation from the Lord. He takes me up for driving from Longview to Seattle and begins to show me the realm of the glory. And have about an hour and a half, 2 hour visitation, and he just reveals so many things. I had no paradigm, no theology, no understanding. Just like, what in the world are you talking about? A few years later, my wife has a vision. The Lord begins to talk to her about cities of refuge. Mm-hmm. Now, I had no paradigm of cities of refuge. So she's thinking, Doug, we got to buy land. We got to get out of the city. I'm thinking, what are you talking about? The glory of God's coming. We're going to see the greatest thing in the earth. Here in the city, we can't do that if we're hiding up in the mountains. Somewhere.
Exactly.
So we just couldn't even get on the same page with that. It wasn't until about 2.5, maybe 3 years ago, that the Lord, she's just crying out, Lord, you got to bring witness to what you showed me. Why would you show me something? There's no witness to this anywhere. So the Lord brings her people after a while. I've got to say, okay, I don't understand this. I don't know how this could be. They seem contradictory. But we come to the conclusion that it's not either or. Somehow it's all of the above. And that's a long story. Won't take time to get there. But the Lord brought irrefutable witness after witness after witness to my wife concerning the validity of cities of refuge. And I just didn't see how that could be if we were going to experience the glory the way the Lord has showed me. I believe it is a picture of some of the things that the Lord wants to expand our ability to understand what He's doing in this hour and how quickly things are going to move. And if we're locked into one thing, we're not going to be prepared for the fullness of what's happening. And so I appreciated, Joel, again, what you said about having, you know, this one tunnel vision. So the Lord took me to Matthew 25. It's the story of the five wise, the five foolish. And He's still answering the question in Matthew 24. The disciples asked Him, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the age? A threefold question. The nutshell for me was the definition of the word foolish. And here's what it simply means. To refuse to believe somebody else whose opinion is different than yours. And what the Lord was saying there is that's a very unwise perspective. And what we have done is we've tended to try to invalidate those who have a different perspective than us because we haven't seen the overall panorama of the things that are going to begin to happen very quickly, and we're going to find ourselves moving from one season into another season much faster as time is accelerating. And so what we don't feel is valuable now will become valuable when the time is right. How many people thought Noah was out of his mind? But the purpose for what he was doing wasn't fully manifest until the rain came.
The rain.
And there are people who are being immersed in the harvest, but there are people who are, the Lord is putting them in place maybe 5, 10, 15 years down the road, and they're doing things that right now don't make any sense, don't seem relative to where we are. But their time will come and their purpose will be made known. And the validity of what they're doing will be important. So I don't want to get too far, but I just want to say that. It's an important perspective to have. The harvest is upon us. So in any case, when I saw the Japanese earthquake on the internet that Saturday night, I heard the Lord speak to me. Something was different. I saw the Christchurch earthquake, the Haiti situation, you know, different things that have happened over the years, and you see those and you think, oh Lord, you know. But when I saw the Japanese one, something was different in my spirit, and the Lord spoke very clearly. He said, this is the beginning of sorrows. And I didn't go to Matthew 24 and Mark 13 at that time. I just had the sense, whoa, what does that mean? And it was like there's an acceleration. You talked about the season. We've stepped into an acceleration of every prophetic thing that's been declared. And now we're on, you know, we're at an accelerated rate of the things of God coming into view. With that was also this burden, this intense sense, and I began to pray. And if old-time Pentecost has taught me anything, it's taught me how to pray so I can, you know, really posture myself for hours and hours before His presence and just do that. It's a discipline that taught me. And the question I was putting before the Lord was, Lord, I don't want to discount the prophets, because Amos 3 and 7 says that He does nothing but that He reveals it first to His servants, the prophets. Mm-hmm. But I've never been a doom and gloom guy. I don't like hearing about earthquakes. I don't like hearing about all that stuff. You know, it's kind of like they called wolf too many times. So my tendency is I'm focusing on the glory, man. I'm focusing on what You showed me. This is where I'm at. But I began praying. I said, Lord, I want to know. Come on, You said, shall I hide from Abraham, my friend, that thing which I'm about to do? I said, I appreciate those guys, but they don't live here. I live here. They live on the East Coast. I don't even know any of them except for Bob Jones. Mm-hmm. I said, Lord, I want to know. And so I'm really praying. First thing I feel, and here's what I've learned in the prophetic, okay? If the Lord tells me something, I know it's the Lord. I don't bat an eyelash at saying, this is what the Lord said. If I'm trying to discern something out of my spirit, then I say, this is what I feel like the Lord is saying. Because I've learned to take even the visions and the things that He shows you, take and lay them on the table. Don't own them. Just be a facilitator. Lay it on the table and speak into and invite other councils of apostles and prophets and pastors and those who have a heart for the things of God. Lay them on the table and submit it and let people speak into it and share in that rather than, this is what God gave me and this is the deal. It's just the perspective He showed me, and that's what we do with these things. We're just laying them on the table. You take with them, and I'm, you know, you get anything different, then I'm open. Let's talk. But I felt like the first thing the Lord said was, time is mercy. And so I'm going to give you time. And what happens, what you do with this time as the church, will determine what I'm able to do at the end of this time. And I didn't feel like it was years and years and years. I felt like it was a short period of time. Maybe 6 to 9 months is what I felt. And that was in March. But I'm still praying. I'm still posturing. So my wife and I are driving from Vancouver over to Beaverton. Now my wife is a bit of a seer. She sees angels. She's been to heaven several times, many times. She sees things, and I don't. It's kind of frustrating. I get very jealous. But so we're driving from Vancouver to Portland, or to Beaverton, pardon me. We're heading up 26. Just before you get to the tunnel, where you look to the right, you can see downtown. And to the left, you can see the houses on the side of the hills and all that area. Mm-hmm. Lord takes her into an open vision. And she sees the buildings, the high-rise buildings in downtown Portland doing this. Then they begin to crumble. She sees the houses on the side of the hill begin to fall down the hill. So now it's no longer some prophet on the East Coast. It's my wife sitting next to me in the car. It's like, okay, deal with that. Sorry. And I just put it in my lap. So now I'm just intently praying, saying, Lord, does this have to happen? What do we do? Mm-hmm. And there's also prophetically this in the mix, economic meltdown. And I've talked to a lot of pastors and leaders in the region, and a number of comments I've had was, you don't have to be prophetic to know that our economy is hanging on by a thread and we're long overdue for an earthquake. True. So my wife and I are sitting in the living room. We're discussing the implications of an economic meltdown. Long story short, she says, Doug, I think if it goes down, what could happen is it could be months before it comes back up. What are the people who aren't prepared going to do?
Exactly.
What kind of unrest is that going to cause? The minute she said that, the Lord took me into a vision that he showed me 3 years ago. We were at Shiloh with Jerry and Mary. We were praying one Wednesday morning. We all prayed. And I saw the kitchen and the dining, the fellowship hall, filled up with people. And we were feeding them. Maybe 150, 200 people. And at the time I'm saying this, I'm thinking to myself, where did these people come from? What are they doing here? What's going on? And then the Lord took me into the sanctuary. And the sanctuary was filled with His presence. People were worshiping and praying. And I had a sense that it wasn't just a service. It had been going on 24/7. It was wonderful. It's like, wow. Then I saw the classrooms, and the classrooms were filled with individual ministry. And I thought, well, this is really interesting. Then the Lord took me back, and I watched this scenario. A person came to the door. They said, we're hungry. Can you help us? We said, yes. We fed them. Once their immediate need of hunger got met, they became aware of the music in the sanctuary. What's going on in there? Somebody said, come see. I can only suppose because of their desperate situation, they walked into the sanctuary, experienced the presence of God. They just came right into the kingdom. And then it made sense. Those personal rooms were for ministry, deliverance, healing, whatever. Boom. Now the Lord picks me back. I'm sitting in the living room with my wife. And all of a sudden He says these words to me. Is the church prepared to be the answer on that day? And then He capped it off with this statement. Harvest opportunity. So for me, at that point, that was a huge piece of the puzzle. That was just like the Lord saying, okay, look, here's the perspective I want you to have. Things are coming. Now, in the past, I know the Lord has taken intercessors and they've stood in the gap.
Yes.
And we've tried to... I know they've shut down earthquakes.
We have.
I know they've shut down terrorist attacks. I know these things have happened.
We have, yes.
But if we're in the beginning of sorrows, when we go to Matthew 13, we go to Matthew 24, Jesus said, when these things begin to happen, lift up your heads. Do not be afraid, for these things must be. So I believe there is a... when we move into this season, there's a new level of discernment that He wants us to have and operate in. And that's some things are going to happen. I had something happen 3 years ago. I'm in a prayer meeting with about 40, 45 people. And it was the flooding taking place back then on the Mississippi. Remember then when that first flood happened and all that deal, and everybody in the room was praying, oh God, you know, heal it and make it like it never happened, and you know, just step in, and we're trying to exercise faith and authority over what happened and bring restoration quickly and all these kinds of things. And I'm just sitting there and the Lord's talking to me and He says, I can't answer those prayers. There's a new level of discernment that needs to come into the body, and you need to know what I'm doing and what I'm allowing. Here's a better prayer. Pray that the fullness of my purpose gets accomplished in what's released. Mm-hmm. Yes. And man, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, I want to sink back into the chair and just not say a thing. And He's saying, I want you to step into the office of prophet and begin to prophesy. Huh. Never had Him say that to me ever. But the reality is this, there's so many things that the Lord is doing. They're different. There are different phases of the kingdom that are coming. And they don't detract and they're not contrary to one another. Mm-hmm. We just need to operate out of a fuller dimension of understanding. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what's happening with Joel and Destiny and what Steve Trujillo saw with the angel in the Pioneer Square and the whole harvest.
Yes.
I believe in God's mercy.
Yes.
What He's doing right now through Rodney and what He's doing through Joel and what He's been preparing so many of us for is He's trying to get us, first of all, to come into the awareness that the harvest is here.
Yeah.
The harvest is ripe.
Yes.
It's about to hit.
Mm-hmm.
And He's letting Joel go through the birth pains and the struggles, if you will, of dealing with the influx, the unexpected influx of the harvest to get a few strategies in place and to get some wisdoms there and to understand the need for connection.
On the job training.
Because when the harvest truly comes, it's, somebody said, used the word, it's going to be all hands on deck. We're going to need so many pastors and
teachers.
So many teachers. And the prophetic. Now, I just want to say this. When I was also in prayer this morning, I got very, very excited. Because the Lord began to talk about something that he's, you know, purpose and destiny. The purpose is, and you read that scripture out of Ecclesiastes, it's a time for every purpose under heaven. What the Lord said to me is, he said, Doug, so much of my purpose is in those that are coming forth in the harvest.
Yes.
So much of my intended purpose is in the hearts of those that are coming in the harvest. And you need to understand the dynamic of the season that you're coming into. It's time to mine that purpose quickly. It's time to call it forth prophetically and set it into place apostolically and release the fullness, because these people are carrying impregnated by God before the foundations of the earth. Many of these people are carrying in their hearts, and they don't even know it, cities and villages and nations and people groups that God is not going to put them through what we've been through, institutionalized church for the past 30 years. These people are coming in, and they're immediately going to grow at an accelerated rate. They're immediately going to begin to want to do something. They're not going to be content sitting in a church, going through class after class, doing the stuff that we did.
They want to work.
They're going to want to be thrust right into their eternal purpose. And we've got to have the apostolic, the prophetic, the pastoral, the teaching, the evangelistic in place, so that the harvest, one of the words he used is, it doesn't spoil. If you take a harvest and you just put it on a shelf and don't tend to it, it will spoil. It will rot. And you got to know when to take the harvest and the grain and how long it can keep, you know. And that's what's wrong with the church right now. I'm not trying to make a critical statement. I'm just trying to point out the obvious. We've let the harvest in the past rot. We've taken these people that we've got them saved and we put them into an institutionalized program.
Silo.
And we wonder why nothing's happening. We've got to have a quicker dynamic. We've got to have new dimensions of heaven being released in our midst that quickly gets the purposes of God accelerating in the earth through what he's bringing in. And so, the harvest, get the harvest in. That's great. Well, what are we going to do with the harvest once we get them in?
Raise them up to be.
We got to have that vision. We got to have that dimension. The harvest is coming in. I've been praying for a revival for 35, 40 years. And the thought of it is so romantic. And the thought of it is so, you know, it's like fantasy. But when they come in, the baggage that they're carrying, the deliverance that it's going to take. We just had one small dimension, because we've been praying, just a small group that we are, we've been praying, God, we need new anointings to get people free quicker.
Amen.
And we experienced something. My wife did a woman's conference up in the Seattle area about, I don't know, a month or so ago. And so many of these women were needy, and so many of them were, I mean, one lady just manifest as my wife is preaching and begins to scream and just fall on the floor and begin to manifest right there in the meeting. And so here's the deal. She said, I don't have time to pray for everybody. I got 3-4 women with me. Let's set up 15-minute segments or 20-minute segments by appointment. And each lady came and met with them. And one of them's a Sozo-trained minister. And she said, Doug, we didn't have time.
Yeah.
I just asked the Holy Spirit, will you show me the root and the heart of this situation? And boom, she said, I've never seen anything like it. All of a sudden, I looked right in, and the Holy Spirit said, this, that. We began to come against it. They began to weep and cry. It was such an accelerated rate of deliverance, getting right to the root, that it didn't take, you know, 5 sessions. It took 20 minutes. And these women were experienced levels of deliverance that they hadn't experienced going to church for 15, 20 years.
Praise God.
So I'm saying the big picture is what God is trying to get the church to see. I sat when Vishal taught, came, preached. I mean, preached, just got all over it, man. He's just preaching. But I heard the true evangelistic anointing. The true evangelistic anointing. And for a minute I was battling a little jealousy. I'm thinking, I've been out on the streets. I've passed out tracts. I've never seen these kinds of results. And I'm just sitting here, you know, in my flesh. And I'm thinking, well, how come you never did that for me? You know what I'm saying? I'm being honest. And it was like the Lord said, true evangelistic anointing is coming. And it's changing everything, son. It's changing everything. Talk about Al Houghton. I was trying to, I don't know who I was talking to. I heard Al Houghton 25 years ago, and I remember what he taught. Al Houghton, you try to describe some other dimension, make him a prophet, make him an apostle, make him something. But what he is carrying is the true anointing of a teaching gift. And when you hear that true teaching gift, it is so powerful. I mean, it's like you got to think this guy's an apostle. He's something. God is releasing the fullness of the anointings for each gifting so that the church can become full of the anointing of each gifting, to where we all become. We have a new dimension of evangelistic anointing upon us. We all have a new level of revelation in the way that the Bible says somewhere in there, be ready to give an answer to every man. Let every man be apt to teach. You know, pastoral anointings. Release that to people. I was a house church pastor. I pastored house church pastors. But there's anointings coming from true pastoral giftings that will just flow throughout the body at large, because we're realizing that it isn't the guy necessarily standing up in the pulpit that has the ability to do it. That God's going to need all hands on deck. And it's not a competition. It's nothing to be jealous about. It's the body of Christ coming into their proper alignment. And the prophetic, true prophetic anointings are coming. And the true apostolic is coming, and they're all going to flow together and mesh and mix, and the church is going to be apostolic and prophetic, is speaking of purpose and destiny and the strategies of heaven. Yeah. We're going to understand a greater dimension of that. But they're not in competition. They're meant to complement and to bring forth the fullness. And so, anyway, I just want to just when the Lord asked me this question, and I called James within a half an hour after having this experience, and I said, James, serving our neighbors, are you doing that? What is? And I told him this thing. I said, does it resonate with you? He said, yes. I said, well, okay, how do we begin to get this word out? How do we begin to rattle the cages and say, hey, the harvest is here, but the harvest is coming in a great way. How do we prepare for this? What are the ramifications of what does it mean to prepare? Mm-hmm. I tried to do a 24-3 we had about 200 people, pray from Friday morning at 6 o'clock till Sunday morning, service started at 10. And initially we had about 50 people all excited, but within 2 or 3 months it had dwindled down to, you know, a faithful 10. And we're filling 6 and 8 hour blocks trying to keep the thing full. And so I'm looking at the full, like you talked about, you were amazed. 100 people came forward and they followed through. You know, that is the essence of pastors. What's falling on us is we've got to get the church mentally and conditionally prepared. When the harvest truly is here, everything changes. Mm-hmm. In our convenience, in our levels of our lifestyle. They didn't really go into it. They did it in one day, but normally the harvest takes several weeks. Morning to night, that's all you're doing is harvest. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what I saw. This sanctuary was filled 24/7. I don't know how, you know, hard it's been to try to get people to pray in the past, but mm-hmm. you're finding that it's easier, right? Mm-hmm. So some of the strategies are being prepared in a way, and just, I'll finish with this, mm-hmm. is, in 07, the Lord showed me an event that similar to what Danny's doing in Albany. We all age groups are there. There was intercessors. There was a younger group that actually went out. And I was just amazed at this whole thing that I saw. But after they went out in this vision, the Lord said, now look over here. And I looked at another part of the building that I hadn't even seen. And in this part of the building was every preparation was made for the people when they came back in. So for example, if there were prostitutes, there were homes and housing made available for them so they did not have to go back out on the street.
Yes.
If they were homeless, there was apartment buildings, whole apartment buildings, mm-hmm. housing available for them to come and go right into the kingdom. Whatever condition they came in, they needed to be assimilated right in, that was all available. I mean, it was the most complete plan I didn't even imagine that. It could be that complete in His plan. It was amazing. And so God is, He's got the full plan. And so one of the things I told James is, all these parachurch, what we would call parachurch ministries that are out there in the streets, like Terry Gantz, for example. You know, she's been doing what she's doing, and she'll do it if you support her, if you don't support her. You know, because that's just the heart God has given these people. They're going to be out there working with these groups that the Lord has implanted in them regardless. But they're going to become vital in that. They've got the facility, and the resources are going to flow into the purposes of building the barns to garner the wheat. And everything that we've known about church is going to get tweaked in the process, because it's going to get bigger, it's going to get beyond the scope of what we've been able to see and plan for. And every time you just, I know when we just open up our spirits, it's like we see this wave coming and we're just like, Lord, you got to help us. Well, how do we you know, what do we do? It seems like overwhelming. But that's why He's just letting it trickle in right now until we really can somehow begin to grab a hold of the strategies and we connect in a greater way. Listen, when you're fishing with a pole, you get one fish. But a net, you gather the harvest. We've got to connect in incredible, intentional, meaningful ways. Because it's going to take a whole...
That's right.
To take care of the harvest.
And in 1999, when we were working with Serving Our Neighbors in preparation for Y2K, I kind of sensed the Lord was birthing something.
That's right.
But then there's a death period, and then there's a time where He's going to resurrect it. And the Lord just would not let me go with that name, with the website, or anything. And then I want to wrap this up here where it says in Acts 11, again, verse 27, and in these days came the prophets from Jerusalem to Antioch, and there stood up one of them, Agabus, and he signified by the Spirit that there would be a great famine throughout the whole world. They didn't pray against it. Mm-hmm. They just heard what the Holy Spirit was saying. They worked in tandem to what was happening. And then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined how to serve their neighbors. Then every man according to his ability determined how to send relief to the brethren which were dwelt in Judea and that were in Antioch.
We should name a foundation or a charity after that.
Yeah, Serving Our Neighbor, something like that, some kind of coalition of people mobilizing prayer and service and funding and...
Yeah. Okay.
So let's pray. Father God, we just lay these things again before you. We thank you that you are before us, and we can feel the wind of your Spirit behind us. And you're saying, go in this way. Don't turn to the left or the right, but go in this way. And I will show you. Pursue my presence, and all that you need is there. And so, Lord, as this clarion call goes out, Lord, we decree and declare that you will minister life. You would release people to respond. And that the harvest, the laborers will be raised up. I kept hearing, I am the Lord of the harvest, not you. I am the Lord of the harvest. It is my harvest. It is my harvest. And I will not let it rot. I am the Lord of the harvest. And I am raising up my laborers to go forth and bring it in. And my house will be full. My house will be full. And so, Lord, we release that. We say yes and amen to that. And we give you the glory. Show us what we're to do personally, what we're to do corporately as a body. Lord, show us, reveal, and speak to us what the Spirit is saying to the body, to the ecclesia, the called out ones who are to go forth and legislate your kingdom, who are to legislate and release your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. That is what your church is called to do, your ecclesia. And we say yes and amen to that. You are the general. You are the commander-in-chief, and we are obedient. And we are obedient to what you have said for us to do. And together we will see the next one beside us, arm in arm, bringing in. Just like that video, Lord, machine after machine after machine, bringing it forth. And then we can celebrate at the marriage feast of the Lamb what you have done and giving you glory. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen.